Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Checkout. Produced at WBGO 88.3 FM. Always online at WBGO.org. Check out jazz.org, where we archive all of our shows here. I'm Simon Rentner. The pianist John Batiste is set to open this year's Newport Jazz Festival, kicking off next Friday. And during his special concert at the International Tennis Hall of Fame in Newport, he will also be releasing a new recording on Verve entitled Anatomy of Angels, live at the Village Vanguard. In fact, you're listening to the title track of that performance right now. Before John Batiste became a household name, before his leap to stardom as the musical director of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, John Batiste already showed signs that he wanted to change the world for the better. On today's show, we're going to dig deep into our archives before Batiste became famous, from a session he conducted with the original host of The Checkout and founder of the show, Josh Jackson. In this conversation and performance, Batiste is pure fire and imagination. First, taking our listeners on a tour of Louisiana jazz, rhythm and blues. Then he'll deftly pivot and pay homage to a pianist he admires in the classical world, followed by just a spontaneous improvisation, channeling the soundscapes and scenes of New York City where he resides today. And stick with us, because Josh Jackson ends his interview with one of his trademark, ambiguous, open-ended questions. What is music for? And after a long pause, Batiste gives his answer, leading to an inventive, irrebuttable interpretation of the Star-Spangled Banner, reminding us, and we need to be reminded, don't we, just how great our country can be if we work together, united, with open hearts and open minds. Our studio session with Josh Jackson now.
You're from New Orleans, John Batiste. Before there was ever a word named jazz, cats were talking about ragging it.
Yeah. Dragging it. Yubi Blake said he, anytime they would have a big time Negro die in the streets, they would parade. He was from Baltimore, but still, there was a tradition in the church during the death, the ceremony, they would play the, then he said when they come back around, they'll rag it. He said he heard that, and he been playing it ever since. That was what he wanted to do. And, you know, he talks about that, and the church he went to, the ideas they would feel and intuitively inject into the spirituals. You know, the spirituals will be straight. And the rhythm, it's all rhythmic innovation. So, and it's all African. It's just deep, man. So before jazz, there was that. What they did allows us to do what we're doing now.
What are we doing now, John Batiste?
What are we doing now? Well, the beauty of this era is that everything is connected. Everything is connected more so than it's ever been. So I think that kind of sentiment and connectivity that's in social media, that's in all of the stuff that's happening nowadays, has transformed the way that we think about the music. The audience is listening to music on their iPod and they're shuffling through it and they're genre hopping whether they know it or not. Consciously or unconsciously, they're listening to all types of stuff because all of the information is just accessible to you at your fingertips. You're having conversations. that are global conversations, and people create movements through social media, even through the conversation that's there.
Now, here's something that people can't see on the radio, and here's something that you may not get the same feeling with via social media. You and I are shaking hands.
But that's where the music comes in.
Tell me how that comes in.
That is why the relationship between the audience and the musician can become even more intimate. You can never become more intimate than a handshake, and a live musical experience is one of the most profound and powerful experiences in the history of the planet. So when you combine all of this new technology, but you keep the essence
of the handshake.
Yeah, you keep the essence of the handshake. If you find that sweet spot in the middle where you don't lose that fundamental core, that fundamental human exchange, and you use all of this technology to stay connected and remain on some level interfacing with all of the people who you've met along your path, it becomes this community, this global community. And the music is like that. Jazz can accommodate all these different styles and genres that people are listening to. And basically, I guess you could say some people might not be jazz fans, but they might have a jazz song on their iPod or something like that, or they might like to listen to some jazz here or there. So nowadays is the time for people to try stuff like this.
Will you shake our hands a little bit on the piano?
What would you like to hear, Mr. Jackson?
Play me James Booker through the persona of John Batiste.
Mm-hmm. James Booker had this thing he would do in his left hand and sound like the piano moaning. And the piano just, it's creating this atmosphere. It's like so much personality that you're hearing in the sound. And he was known for taking songs and transforming them into this blues-drenched, deeply profound kind of style. He'd take classical music and change it up. He'd take nursery rhymes, jazz standards. So I kind of stole this kind of left-hand vibe from him.
It's all right.
I kind of play in that vibe so we could try to remember what he was talking about. He sat down at the piano, you know, with the blues coming with the right hand. Big fan of Chopin, so I oftentimes like to take his music and do different things to it. not want me doing that in my classical. When I was doing it at the Juilliard School in New York City. But I'm from New Orleans. Well, I'm from Kenner, actually.
That's right.
But something that...
Jefferson Parish.
Jefferson Parish. Something that the people in Jefferson Parish like to do. It's different than what people in New York like to do. But, here's, you know, something else in that same kind of vibe. Chopin did this C-sharp minor composition. I'm trying to remember the melody. It says,
I do know what you mean.
Yeah, bro.
The Frederick Blues.
Frederick.
John Batiste, you said you're from Kenner, and there is a distinction in some ways from, you know, Jefferson Parish and New Orleans and Orleans Parish, but something that goes under-recognized, I feel, is that in the history of the music, if you look at some of the cats who are known for the origins of the music. They came from places like Donelsonville,
yes.
Norco,
yeah.
St. Rose.
Oh my goodness, St. Rose.
Kenner.
Yes.
That whole area, South Louisiana, very rich. New York is a whole other animal.
Man, New York City is the land of possibility, opportunity. Is at every turn you look around and there's somebody that does something interesting or that has a character that is clearly present in their physical being, or there's something about the environment that you go to one place and it has something to offer for you. And you turn the corner and go up a couple blocks, and then you're in a whole nother part of town. And then you keep going right, and you go to the west side, and you're in a whole nother part of town. A whole different thing to offer. So I'm thinking about my experience in New Orleans, and it was one thing. And that thing is beautiful, and it's no place else. But then you come to New York, and it's one place, but it's everything. You see what I'm saying? It's I guess the juxtaposition that I'm making is that New Orleans is one of the last folk cultures that it's not been changed or tampered with. You go there and there's nothing that is like it, ever. New York, on the other hand, you come here and there are people here from everywhere in the world, and they've created, even within a culture, like you can go to Chinatown and that culture is present there. Then you go uptown in Harlem where I'm at, and even above, you know, there's a culture there. I'm talking about this the other day. So my thing is, I had to come here. The New York mix is the gateway to the rest of the world.
Yeah, it's like 160-something countries in one city.
Bam. Woo! Right here. Yes. So how could you resist that as an artist?
Will you play me something that's New York-related, John Batiste?
Yeah.
New York.
Yeah.
A John Batiste invention.
Yeah. New York City. You hear the horns blowing? The big sprawling cityscape. With the skyscrapers reaching up high. And then you have the chaos. Then you got the country boy in the city. Perspectives open up. And then you see the cityscape with a different view. That's what I was thinking with that. It was a spontaneous improvisation. But I'm always thinking about imagery, man. The music. When you put the images to it, that's one great thing about Duke Ellington that I've learned. The people are able to see the story unfold without words. I wrote this one about New York. It's a reprise, and it comes at the end of the album. It's called The Spirit Is With Us. Because when you're walking around New York City, you can feel a lot of energy. But you want to align yourself with the right spirit. Thank you. celebration.
John Batiste joins us on the checkout. What is music for?
Music is a gift to discover what music is for. You have to look at its nature. Music motivates people and it puts emotions into the heart, the soul, and the subconscious mind. And it has, because of this, the profound power to influence a person's life in any way that the music determines. And how receptive you are to the music determines the level of influence it will have on you. So I guess for me, because music is such a gift and it has so much power, the purpose of music, based upon its nature and what I know of its nature, should be to impact people's lives in the best way possible. If that's not what you're using such a gift for, then wouldn't that be the wrong thing to do?
This brings me to your performance of the Star Spangled Banner. Because there are over 300 million Americans who know that song.
Right on.
They may not know UB Blake.
Yep.
They may have no idea who Duke Ellington is. Mm-hmm. But they know that song.
Mm-hmm. That's right. America is, again, we talked about New Orleans being this culture that is a great synthesis of many different things to create one thing, New York being a global synthesis of many different things to create one thing. That, on an even larger scale, is what America represents and what people who come to America from other places, that is the American dream. To fit into something that welcomes everyone at an equal level and has the ability for you to make your dream or your vision a reality. And nothing is stopping you but the ability to go out and work for it. So when I thought about the Star Spangled Banner, I thought about what that represents in the concept of the music, not just social music, but specifically in the context of jazz. When you think about jazz, it's the ability for people from different generations, people who are different race, a different ethnic descent. Or you may have societal bounds. For instance, Benny Goodman was playing with people.
Teddy Wilson.
Who weren't allowed to be in the same club,
Lionel
the same
Hampton.
Restaurant, same hotel as him. And you think about how early on jazz represented what the American philosophy was supposed to be. When you have a song that's like the Star Spangled Banner, it brings people together because everyone deep down, whether we recognize it or act it out in our everyday lives as Americans, we recognize the power of what that philosophy means to the rest of the world. So I always have admired that song because of its power to bring people together. And I put it on the Social Music CD because when Stay Human was talking about releasing this album, we wanted it to bring people together, to be a montage of musical traditions. That's what social music is. So what song is better than that as an American? Da 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 do 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 do. You know, like the spacing of it? Do 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 do. It's good for reharmonization. You know? A lot of tension with those repeated notes. You know, Ose does that Star Spangled Banner. Does it wave? Yeah, it wave. Of the free. And then when it gets to that part, and the home. You know what I'm saying? Whoa! Woo! That's a bad number. So I was thrilled to write an arrangement of that one. And the nature of the arrangement has a European classical piano style at the beginning with the reharmonization of jazz music and blues. You know, but when you get to that part and the home, it embodies that. The ragtime, the stride, the jazz, the blues, all of the folk elements of the music, the gospel. You know that? That's us. That's us.
Thank you for joining us on the checkout.
Oh! Thank you.
The Star Spangled Banner performed live in our studio on October 17th, 2013, with The Checkout's original host, Josh Jackson. And we'll leave you with another little snippet from John Batiste's forthcoming album on Verve, recorded live at the Village Vanguard. The tune right here is called Creative. Make sure again to check out John Batiste coming to this year's Newport Jazz Festival, kicking off the proceedings at the International Tennis Hall of Fame in Newport, Rhode Island. Keep tabs on everything we do here on The Checkout by just following us on social media at Checkout Jazz, our Twitter handle, our Facebook page, The Checkout from WBGO. I'm at Simon Rentner. Have you subscribed to the podcast yet? Well, that's the easiest way to listen to this show. iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, however you get your podcasts. Give us a review while you're at it. We would be hugely thankful. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rentner. Thanks for checking us out.